Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
And what we are going to do this summer is we are going on a journey of spiritual growth through the book of Romans. And the cool part is that every Sunday, we're going to be talking about something that you're going to be reading this week. So I really encourage you, go on this journey with us. Be here as many Sundays as you can. You'll notice there's a note section for every Sunday. So you can actually bring your journal with you every Sunday, take notes. And then what we talk about on Sunday, you're going to be reading about at some point over the course of that week. So I'm really, really excited. You know, if you had to make me pick, right? Like, I don't even know, like, you can do it. If you had to make me pick one book of the Bible and said, okay, what is your favorite? I don't even know if you're supposed to say this as a preacher or not. But if you had to say one book that you have to pick, what is your favorite book of the Bible? I'm telling you right now, I would choose Romans. So I am incredibly excited about what God is going to do in our hearts, in our lives, and in our community as we commit this summer to reading through the book of Romans. Now, we talk about reading through the book of Romans, which then brings up a great question, right? And the question is simply this. Okay, why do we read the Bible? Why do we read the Bible? We do not read the Bible simply because we want to be good Christian people, because we want to check the box and feel good about ourselves. No, there are four specific reasons that I want to give you today. And actually, there are more reasons than this, but four specific reasons why we should read the Bible. And the first is this, is that the Bible gives identity. The Bible tells us who we are. It tells us who we are, and maybe who we are, who the Bible says we are, goes against what some other people have previously told us who we are in our lives. Maybe somebody has told you that you're a loser. Maybe somebody else has told you that you were stupid. Maybe somebody told you that you would never be good enough. We need to read the Bible. Why? Because the Bible gives us our identity. Not only that, but the Bible gives understanding. The Bible gives understanding. We get to see the life that God created us to live. And not only do we get to see the life He created us to live, we get to see how to actually live it. The Bible gives us understanding. Third, the Bible gives comfort and courage. The Bible gives comfort and courage. The Bible assures us that God is in control, and it assures us that Christ is victorious. And whenever you know that God is in control and you know that Jesus has the victory, you know what that gives your soul? Peace. Because God is in control. And since Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave, He can conquer anything that we are facing as well. So the Bible, it gives us comfort. And the Bible gives us tremendous courage. And lastly, the Bible gives hope. The Bible gives hope. And that is that we have this hope. We have this hope that heaven is our home. We have this hope that we are not alone in the journey. We have this hope that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So we read the Bible. Why? Because we need identity. We need to know who we are. We read the Bible. Why? Because we need understanding about this life that God has called us to live and how we live it. We read the Bible. Why? Because we need comfort for our soul and we need courage for our heart. And finally, we read the Bible because we need hope. And here's the awesome thing about the book of Romans is it is full of all four of those things. It is full of identity. It is full of understanding. It is full of comfort and courage. And it is full of hope. Well, as we get into the book of Romans, what we'll be talking about is it is a letter written by a guy that we refer to as the Apostle Paul. Okay, the Apostle Paul, and he was a leader in the early church, And the reason that it's called Romans is because he was writing to the believers in Rome. Very good, right? I mean, it's like it was adequately named, right? Okay, so he's writing to people in Rome, so they decided to call it the Book of Romans. But here's what we'll find in the Book of Romans. We'll find that Paul answers some very important questions for us, that he speaks to some vital theological concepts. He talks to us about the sovereignty of God. He speaks to us about salvation and spiritual growth. And he talks about the righteousness of God. And this is a reoccurring theme throughout the book of Romans. It is a foundational focus of this letter. And the righteousness that we read about is really broken down into four sections within the book. And so let me just give you this, because this is going to be foundational for our journey to understand not just the scriptures that we're reading, but the big picture of Romans. And Romans basically breaks down into these four sections. The first section is this, is righteousness needed. Righteousness needed. I'm gonna go ahead and let you know that the first couple chapters of Romans is all about how jacked up we are. Okay, is all about what sin has done to us, our state of sin, who we are, disconnected from the Creator, and we all needed righteousness. And then as you get through to towards the end of chapter 3, it transitions and it begins to talk about the righteousness provided, that there was righteousness that God provided, that God gave his one and only Son as the gift of God for our sins. Righteousness was provided. But not only was righteousness provided through Jesus, righteousness can also be vindicated, and here's the reason why. Because you can choose to believe in the righteousness that God provided. And when you believe in the righteousness that God provided, now you are putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. You believe and you confess, which allows you to move into the last phase of righteousness, and that is righteousness practiced. Righteousness practiced. And this is all about how to live a holy life, how to live a life that is fully submitted to God. So I want you to see this as we go through the book of Romans. It starts with the fact that we are a sinner and we were separated from God. It moves into God made a way for us to be connected to him through his son Jesus. It moves into telling you how you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And when you do that, now you are in right standing with God. You receive his righteous offer. And when you receive his righteous offer, now guess what? Now you get to live righteously. Or you get to live in the way of God because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. So when we look at this word righteousness, what we're really talking about is it really just means to be right in the eyes of God, to be in right standing with God. Now, right standing with God doesn't happen because of the number of good deeds that we do. You can't earn your right standing with God. You don't get right standing with God because the length of your prayers. You don't get right standing with God because of the quantity of scripture that you read. No, righteousness with God only happens when we accept the forgiveness of our Savior and we surrender our lives to our Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever we accept and surrender our lives, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us that we might then begin to live righteously or begin to live rightly or begin to live God's way. So as we venture through the book of Romans, we're going to talk about sin. We're going to talk about our Savior. We're going to talk about our salvation, but we're going to do it all through the lens of what God desires for each and every one of us, and that is transformation. Transformation is what God desires. You see, God did not send Jesus to the earth just to save us from eternal separation. But through Christ, God made us a new creation. And through being made a new creation, now we can bring heaven to earth. Now we might be the light in this world, and we might live the abundant life that Jesus told us was possible in John chapter 10, verse 10, when he said, "This is the reason that I have come, that you might have life, that you might have it to the full until it overflows." That is the life that Jesus has made possible for each and every one of us. So we understand that Jesus did not come to earth just for us to spend eternity with him. He also came to earth so that heaven might invade earth in our lives, that heaven might come to us today so that we might experience the fullness of the life that God has called us to. Now, we've said that this is our year to advance, and so then we would say, okay, what are we advancing into? What are we, as a community, what are we moving forward into on purpose and with purpose? And we said, we are going to advance into abundance. And abundance is the full life that God created us for. Abundance is the life that God said was possible. And the Apostle Paul, he ends this letter with a very clear call to all the believers. And this was the call that he ends with. Don't stop at salvation, but let your salvation move you into transformation. Don't stop at salvation, but let salvation move you into transformation. Don't stop at just settling for saying, one day I will go to heaven. Instead, allow God to transform you so that heaven might fill your heart and your life today. It's that fourth step of righteousness practice, of us being transformed by his Spirit. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're gonna be kind of looking at all of Romans through the lens of these two verses. And so we're gonna start today by taking a peek. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Okay, so remember where we started in Romans. He's working this. So he says, hey, in view of God's mercy. So let's just do a little reminder right now. We were separated from God and we needed righteousness. God sent his son 2,000 years ago to make a way so that 2,000 years later in Bossier City, Louisiana, we could put our faith, hope, and trust in this Savior and we might experience eternal salvation because of the grace of God. And because we come into relationship with God, now we can live this godly life that he created us to live. But he says, hey, I want you to know, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that God did for you what you could never do for yourself, that God gave you access to heaven and access to his Spirit. You couldn't get that any other way. God gave that to you. So in light of his mercy, in view of his mercy, here's what I'm challenging you to do. He says you should offer your body, or you should offer your life as a living sacrifice. And your life should be holy. And your life should be pleasing to God. Why? Because this is your true and proper worship. And then he goes on and he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So what Paul is challenging, not just the Roman church, he's speaking to us too. And he's saying, hey, listen, you don't, in view of God's mercy, don't stop at God's mercies, but in view of his mercy, here should be our response. And our response is that we should offer up our lives to God. And we should offer up our lives to God to be holy and pleasing to him. And then he tells you, okay, this is how you do that. You let God transform you by changing the way that you think. And whenever you let God change the way that you think, you will begin to live a different life and you'll begin to live out the will of God for your life. And so that's what we see in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We see that this becomes the transition moment into the transformation that God wants us to experience. Now, one of the ways that we look at it here at North Point, and you've probably seen this before, but this is just simply a transformation cycle or a growth cycle, you could call it. And this is what's going to happen this summer to us as a community. Because as you read the Word of God, guess what happens? You have heightened awareness. Your awareness goes up. Because when you read the Word of God, you get awareness about yourself, you get awareness about God, you get a greatest awareness about life and about other people, and then it forces you over here into evaluation. So you start to evaluate your life. You start to evaluate your thoughts. You start to evaluate your behaviors. You start to evaluate your relationship with God. You start evaluating your relationships with the people in your life. And then as you begin to evaluate that and wrestle with that, now I say, okay, I want to begin to practice something different, meaning I want to do something different in my life. Why? Because my evaluation showed me that there are things in my life that I could improve, things in my life that could look more like Jesus. So I'm going to put something new into practice in my life. And this growth cycle never, ever, ever stops, because the more that we change and we do, the more aware we become of who God is and how far we actually are away from His way and all of these things. And so we evaluate again and we practice again and we stay in this cycle. Now, as we read in Romans chapter 6, as we get there at about the halfway point, this is what we'll read about. We'll read that Jesus broke the power of sin. But how many of you understand the presence of sin still exists in your life and in the world? Jesus broke the power of sin, but the presence of sin is still here. So while Jesus broke the power of sin over our life, it is up to us to break the pattern of sin in our lives. So let me say it to you again. So Jesus broke the power of sin over our lives, but it's up to us to break the pattern of sin in our lives. It's up to us to go through the transformation process. Now, we receive salvation by grace through faith, right? It's how, you know, you would say, are you saved, right? Have you received salvation, all right? That happens by the grace of God. We can do it ourselves, and it happens through faith. When we choose to believe the story of God, we are saved by grace through faith. But hear me, but you're only transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are saved by grace through faith. When you believe, you are born again. But you are only transformed when you allow God to change the way that you think. This is how you can be saved and still have a horrible attitude. This is how you can be saved and still be mean to people. This is how you can be saved and still act foolish, harbor prejudice, and live greedy. Because the truth is that Jesus didn't say, hey, I came from heaven just so that you would believe in me. When Jesus came to the earth, when he walked around, he said, I want you to follow me and be my disciple. I don't want you just to believe. I want you to follow me and be my disciple. He was saying, I want you to stay with me. I want you to observe me. I want you to listen to me. I want you to submit yourself to my leadership. I want you to follow my instruction. I want you to imitate me. Do what you hear me say. Do what you see me do. Love, forgive, pray, serve, honor, feed, give thanks, be kind, teach God's ways. And that is my prayer for us as we go through the book of Romans, that as we finish this summer, that our life would look more and more like Jesus. Why? Because we became aware of the gaps. We became aware of some weaknesses. We became aware of some habits. We became aware of some toxic thinking. We became aware of some limiting beliefs. We became aware of some habits that have snuck into our life over time. And when we evaluate that, we say, you know what? That's not the way that I want to live. That's not the way I want to talk. That's not the way I want to think. That's not the way I want to treat my spouse. I want to do something different. And it takes us over into practice, and we start actually living differently in our lives simply because we say, I don't want just to believe in Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And it's possible for each and every one of us. You know, this is my prayer for North Point Community Church, that we would never settle for a normal life. If you ever wonder what Philip is praying for you, I am praying that you will never settle for a normal life, but that you would allow God to transform you by changing the way that you think so that you might live the abundant life that Jesus died to give you. That is my prayer for you, and that's my prayer for you this summer, that we would all submit to the process that's going to bring about this growth progress in our lives. Now, you might be familiar with the the old school gospel tracts. Anybody remember those? I mean, I think there's still some floating around out there today. They're not as prevalent, but there used to be a gospel tract, you know, just a little pamphlet you could give somebody called The Roman Road to Salvation, right? Come on, how many of you remember that? Come on, just wave at me so I know I'm not the only old person in the room. Thank you so much. There's six of us in here, praise the Lord. The Romans Road to Salvation, and what it was a few scriptures from Romans, and it took you through salvation. And basically, when you got to the end, it was the ABCs of faith, and all you had to do was acknowledge that Jesus came and he died and was resurrected, and then you had to say, I choose to believe that story, and then you had to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you had to invite him into your life, and you would be saved. It was the Roman road to salvation. But listen, here this summer, we're not just going to stop at the Roman road to salvation. We're going to go to the Roman road to transformation. We're going to go to the Roman road of transformation, and that is going to be the journey. We are not stopping at salvation. We are going on into the full transformation that Jesus wants to do in our lives today. And so we're going to jump into Romans 1 as we kind of wrap up our time. I want to give you something that you're going to be reading this week. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this: this is from Paul, a slave. Everybody say slave. A slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Say, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. I love as Paul is starting this letter, he's just simply identifying himself. He's letting us know, hey, I'm Paul, and I am writing this letter, and I am a servant of God. And when he says that, you know, it's one of these things of Christianity, because, you know, Jesus is both my Savior and my friend, and he is also my Lord and my Master. God is both the intimate Father of love, and he is also the all-powerful God of justice. There is this tension of which we live in, that Jesus comes to rescue me and to be my friend, but he is still Lord of all lords, and I bow my knee to his kingship. God is this loving Father who gives grace so abundantly, but he is also this powerful creator and this God of justice. So we read Paul saying, I am a servant. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of God. But we see Paul later in Romans talking about, I'm a son. I'm a son of God. So here on one side, he's a son, and on another side, he's a servant. And you say, how do we deal with these two positions? Let me just give you a little insight, tell you how I look at these two things. And number one is this, is that our identity is rooted in relationship. Our identity, my identity is rooted in relationship. I know who I am because I know whose I am. That's why we say in our declaration when we start, I am a child of God, because nothing in your life will be more important than your identity. You have to know who you are, and our identity comes through relationship, that he is God the Father, that Jesus Christ is friend and he's Savior. It comes through identity, knowing that we have a seat at God's table, that knowing we are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, that is where our identity comes through relationship. But our attitude must be rooted in servanthood. So my identity comes from relationship, but my attitude is rooted in servanthood, meaning that I know who I serve. I serve the King. I serve the Creator. And because I serve the eternal God, it also means that I serve his creation, that I serve everyone around me. Why? Because I serve him. I serve him. And that's why the Bible says that Paul was sent. He was sent to preach. Why? Because he's a servant. He was taking orders from his master. He was taking orders from his king. And he was sent to preach the good news. And Paul tells us, let me tell you about the good news. Paul just takes a breath. I mean, he's not even a few verses into the letter. And he says, let me tell you what the good news is all about. The good news is all about God's son, Jesus Christ, who proved that he was the son of God whenever he resurrected himself from the dead. He has proven to be who he said he was. And then he says there in verse 5, let's go back and look at that again. It says, through Christ, God has given us the privilege and the grace and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and, everybody say and, that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. But you know, as Paul is just getting into his letter, as he's getting into his letter, he says, hey, I'm writing to tell you about the good news. And the good news is all about God's son. And God's son is Jesus Christ. And Jesus defeated death. This is the good news that I'm wanting to proclaim to you. And God has sent me to tell you this good news, not just so that you would believe. Notice he doesn't stop it, so that they will believe. He doesn't stop there. He says so that they will believe and obey. And it's only when we believe and obey that we can bring glory to his name. It's only when we believe and obey that we are able to bring glory to his name. Hear me, friends. Christianity can never be reduced to just believing in Jesus. Christianity must take the next step of being and behaving like Jesus. That's why if you hang out in our community very long, like, you realize, like, we don't use the word Christian very often. We say Jesus follower, and it's nothing, like, there's something wrong with the word Christian, but here's the thing. Our cultural context has told us a little bit about what that word means. So I'm Christian because I was born in the South. I'm Christian because I believe in the big man upstairs. I'm Christian because I believe that there was a baby in the manger some years ago, something happened. But I believe there was a baby in a manger. I believe in Jesus' crucifixion. I believe in the resurrection. And I just believe. And so therefore, I am a Christian based upon that. But Jesus didn't ask for believers. He asked for disciples. I just found a Bible that was like from 2002. Destiny and I were going through some stuff, and I was looking to it, and I opened up the Bible, and I'd bought the Bible myself, and I wrote it to myself. I gave it as a gift to myself, and I was like, man, I'm really glad I did this because now the date's in there. And it was 2002. So I started flipping through it and looking through some of my notes in there and started looking at all the bad sermons I used to preach that people had to endure 20 years ago. I'm like, God bless these people for listening to all of this. But I found a quote, and I used to always say this. Believers believe, but disciples do. Believers believe and disciples do. And listen, I don't want to get stuck at believing. I want to be what Jesus asked for. I want to be a disciple. I don't want to stop at salvation. I want to move into transformation so that I can be everything that He wants me to be. And friends, at the end of the day, listen to me, at the end of the day, we are here for one reason. That is to give glory to the Father. Before you should be worried about being a good husband or being a good mom or growing a good business. We have one reason that we are here, and that is to give glory to God. And Paul starts his letter, and he says, this is how you do that, not by getting stuck on just believing, but believe and obey so that you might bring glory to His name. See, glorifying God, it doesn't just happen through the songs that we sing on Sunday. It happens through the light that we shine every day. That's how we bring glory to God. Whenever you believe and obey, whenever you do what God has called us to do, now we bring glory to God the Father. You know, Jesus talked about that light in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone." Say everyone. It gives light to everyone in the house. Whenever you turn the light on in a room, anyone who walks into that room gets to experience the light. And that's what people should experience anytime they walk into your presence, that they experience the light that is in you. In 2022, we could call it your vibe. You could call it your aura. You call it whatever you want to call it. But there is the light of God on the inside of you that is shining through you. And guess what? It gives light to everyone who walks into your presence. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. You should give light to every single person. And then in verse 16, he says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your light shines, people see it, God gets glory from it. I know that's simple, but don't miss it. Your light shines. Your light shines through what? Jesus told you how your light shines. He says your light should shine to everybody. How? By your good deeds. When they see what you do, they're going to give glory to the Father. And this is the fullness of the good news that Paul declared to the believers in Rome. He said, believe and obey so that you might give glory to the Father. Because if you get stuck at believing, now all you're doing is waiting. I'm just waiting for heaven. I believe that Jesus came to rescue me from hell. I believe that Jesus came to open up a doorway for me for heaven. I believe in Jesus. If you get stuck on salvation, you live a life of just waiting until eternal life. Paul said, no, don't do that. Believe and obey. Receive salvation and then step into transformation so that you might do good deeds and let your light shine out into the world. That by living that way, you would be giving glory to the Father and that people would experience the light that is coming out of your life by seeing what you do and that they might give glory to the Father as well. And then Romans chapter 1 as we wrap up, verse 16. You see, at the beginning of every week, week one, there's a verse that we've highlighted for the week. And you could call this your memory verse. I would encourage you this week, commit this verse to memory. Paul, in the 16th verse of Romans chapter 1, he says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work." When he says, "I am not ashamed of this good news that is about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and what he has done for you and for me." He says, "It is the power of God at work, saving everyone." Say everyone. Saving everyone who believes, regardless of what your past looked like, regardless of what your present looks like, regardless of your doubts and your fears, regardless of your addictions and your bad habits, he saves everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. And then he moves to verse 17. And in verse 17, he says, "This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith." So he says, "I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it saves everyone." But then Paul says, don't miss this. It's about the start and it's about the finish. Salvation is not the end of your race. Salvation is not the end-all, be-all that Jesus came for. No, he says, you're going to receive salvation, but that's just when the race begins. That's when the gun goes off. Boom. That's when the race starts. But now you have to run this race. What is this race that we're running? The race that we're running now is a race of transformation. We're running a race of transformation so that we might be and behave like Jesus, so that our light might shine into the world, so that God would get glory from our lives and the people around us might glorify the Father as well. And he says, this race is only run by faith. It takes faith to start the race when you say, "God, I believe that you can save my soul and that you have a seat at your table for me, and I can spend eternity with you forever and ever." It starts by faith, but the journey of transformation is transformation by faith, so that you might reach the end of your race having done what God put you on this earth to do. Paul says, don't get stuck at salvation. Now he's going to go on and talk like the next 11 chapters about it. But he's letting us know in the beginning, that's the start. But this journey that you're on is not about the start. It's about living by faith all the way to the finish. It's not just about salvation. It's about your transformation. It's about you becoming who Jesus died for you to be. And that's what I want to see happen in our community. This summer, it's not the summer of salvation, although it's going to be a summer of salvation for some. Some people are making a decision for the very first time to follow Jesus, and it's going to be a summer of salvation. But we're not stopping there. We're going to say, no, God, we want this to be a summer of transformation. We want to be transformed. We don't want to settle for just being believers. We want to be disciples. Every Sunday here at North Point, we wrap up our Sundays with the lead acrostic, and that is that, and we just say, hey, you know, if we're going to advance, then we've got to lead ourselves well. And if we're going to lead ourselves well, it comes down to a few things. What are you learning? What are you evaluating? What are you applying? And then are you just doing it again? And so today, we're just going to look at this real quickly before we pray. What did we learn today? You know, a lot of people like to take a picture of this. It just serves as a good reminder throughout the week what we talked about on Sunday. I'd encourage you to do that. What did we learn today? We learned that God desires for my life to be transformed on earth, not just my soul to be saved for heaven. God wants me to be transformed here. God is not about me just waiting while I'm here to one day step into heaven. God wants heaven to invade me today. God wants to bring heaven to earth in my life right now. The evaluation is this. Am I on a transformation journey with Jesus? Or am I stuck on believing in Jesus? Am I on a transformation journey with Jesus? Am I on a constantly raising my awareness, constantly evaluating myself, and constantly putting something new into practice so that I can be more like Him? Or am I just stuck on believing? Have I settled into, I believe. The application is this. Practice something new. Let your light shine in a new direction. Just put something new into practice this week. Maybe one thing that you need to put in practice is say, man, I have not been consistently reading my Bible. Well, hey, right here. Here it is. You can read with us every single day, right here. Maybe you say, I haven't been consistent in my prayer life. Great. Hey, right here, you get a 2-for-1 deal because this is Bible and prayer. And you get to write your prayer down every day. Say, this is what I need to do. I don't know what it is for you, but listen, practice something new. Let your light shine in a brand new direction. And let's just do it again and again and again. Let's be people that say, we're not settling for salvation. We're moving in to the transformation that God wants to do in our lives. We're not settling for being believers. We want to be disciples. Because disciples do, and those that do shine their light. And when the light is shined, the Father is glorified. And that's why we are here. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.